This is KPOO San Francisco 89.5 FM. You are listening to Reality Sandwich, a palatable taste of the truth with you every Thursday at noon on your lunchtime. I'm Julie Matthews, a certified nutrition consultant with Healthful Living, and you can listen to this show and any of our past shows at realitysandwichradio.com. Well, today I have Beverly Yates on, Dr. Beverly Yates, who is a naturopathic doctor, and she's in Mill Valley and part of the Naturopathic Family Health Clinic. She offers prenatal treatments for common discomforts and pregnancy concerns and works with all sorts of other conditions for adults and children as well. And we are proud and glad to have her on for the second time, and we're going to be talking about, I think, a very important topic, which is access to good, fresh food, produce, and nutrition, how that impacts our lives. And then we are going to talk in the second half of the show about food sensitivities and things you might not be aware of how foods that are seemingly healthy may be causing problems for people who might have some susceptibility. So welcome to the show, Beverly.
Thank you. Thank you. Glad to be back again, Julie.
Yeah, it's great. So let's talk first. We want to talk a little bit about Hunter's Bay Point and Bayview and their access to, or their lack of access to, fresh produce. And I have a friend that lives in Bay Point, and she was telling me that it's really unbelievable that there really are no stores other than convenience stores. And what are you going to get there? Alcohol, chips, all junk food, all food that's terrible for you. And there's really no access to this produce. So I really wanted to talk to you and find out more about what you know and how that's affecting all of us. So just to start, what have you heard about what's going on?
Well, initially, you know, it had never occurred to me to even question that topic, because I thought, here we are in the Bay Area, right? We've got all these farmers markets, all this wonderful produce. California is the nation's breadbasket. That's no secret. So surely there's even access, right? Ha, 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 ha. Mm-hmm. There were a couple of articles in the San Francisco Chronicle recently talking about the very real disparity, because that neighborhood is a bit isolated in terms of its geography and the kinds and qualities of stores that they have, as you pointed out, is convenience stores. Well, convenience stores are not known for their produce section, to say the least, right? You know, it's going to be soda, beer, junk foods, you know, alcohol, cigarettes, things of that nature. And, you know, to me, as a naturopathic doctor, that's toxin, 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 toxin. You know, so where's the health in that? Well, there isn't. So for people there who don't have ready access outside of the neighborhood via a car to get to a supermarket, to a health food store, places like that, and there's no farmers markets there in the neighborhood or nearby, well, what are they going to eat? Well, junk, frankly. So, of course, the rates of obesity, the rates of heart disease, of diabetes, and all of the things one would expect with poor nutrition are going to be there, because that's the only nutrition.
Right.
So it's not even an issue so much of habits as opposed to access. So that piece, I think, really needs to be addressed. You know, my own point of view as a mother of young children is I see how critical it is that in pregnancy, or even before conception, certainly during pregnancy and certainly in the early years of a child's life, their nutritional foundation is really setting the tone, both in habits and taste preferences for a lifetime. And if it's been set up to be for lots of sugars, lots of salts, that is nothing but a recipe for high blood pressure, diabetes, obesity, and cardiovascular disease as time goes by. Of course people have problems.
Absolutely. And you think about their taste buds are changed, and so they're only interested in salty foods, sweet foods, things with MSG in them. And we know that MSG is one of the fastest way to induce obesity. And I feel that if you look at our culture and all the junk food that we eat, it's really not surprising. And there's some studies on pregnant women and what happens in utero to babies that are eating or getting access to all this MSG through the mother, and how that really affects obesity throughout their entire life. And so what do you get when you go to these health or these health food stores?
We wish.
These convenience stores, you're getting sugar, salt, and not the good salt, all the trans fats, all the junk, and all the MSG.
Right.
And so where is their start in life? Where is that positive impact that, or you know, positive health that they can start with, just so they can think and their brain can work and all of those important things that we would hopefully see in all of our kids? It's just not there. It's not there for the average American. And think about if you live in a place like that where you don't even have access to this food, it's really, really a problem. It's setting all of us up for problems later. And the poor families, and many of them, I'm assuming, probably don't even have the nutrition education to realize that this food is problematic.
Yeah, sometimes, you know, you're so much in the thick of it, you don't even know how big the problem is until you get a chance to get, you know, that breath of fresh air and step outside for a bit and you go, whoa, I didn't even know what I was missing. Mm-hmm. My goodness. Mm-hmm. No wonder, you know, every time we got up in the morning, we had headaches and we had runny noses. We didn't feel well. And so by the time you hit school, you know, your day is already at a poor place.
Mm-hmm.
Then you go to school. And, you know, the school situation might not be optimal either. And, you know, my heart goes out for folks who are stuck in situations where, you know, it's not even necessarily of their own making. It's just the situation around them is just so absurd and, frankly, completely out of balance. And it doesn't need to be that way. I was so pleased, though, in the article, they said that there were some young people in the community who had, via, you know, their wonderful entrepreneurial spirit, rather than getting stuck and feeling victimized or feeling enraged by it, which, of course, would be reasonable responses, they decided to use that energy and they were creating their own businesses by going outside, getting fresh produce and going door to door to sell it.
Wow.
And neighbors were thrilled. I said, now see, that just says to me it's all about access. It's not that people want to poison themselves.
Right.
No one does, really.
Right.
You know, given a choice, people will eat well. Young children will eat well given a choice,
right,
given a chance, really. Even a cranky toddler who wants nothing to do with spinach or broccoli, can't, you know, you can find ways. You can slice it, dice it, whatever you need to, you know, to get it in them. But if you don't even have it available to buy at the store, and, you know, let's get real. Not everybody's going to have a garden. I don't care what their economic circumstances are.
Yes.
You know, wow. From where would it come? And so the brain needs so many important base nutrients. And to me, it's kind of a double whammy because, unfortunately, often in the African-American community, babies are not necessarily breastfed. Sometimes the mothers really don't know all of the benefits around breastfeeding or perhaps have work situations that are so hostile it makes it just about impossible to be able to breastfeed, either issues with being able to pump the breast milk or get it to the baby and have it, you know, be given at a regular interval, et cetera. So it's a double whammy. It's a real setup later on for problems that are often based in nutrition.
Absolutely.
Either food allergies, food sensitivities, or asthma, eczema. You know, all of these things that, in my opinion, as a doctor of naturopathic medicine, are really preventable. They're avoidable. And I know in your work as a nutritionist, you see this all the time. You know, for a nutritionist, you know, this is a core thing.
Yes.
And if you're not eating well, it's hard to have a sound foundation. And we know for a fact the cells of the body turn over every 7 years. So if your first 7 years is junk, and then you multiply that times another three rounds of seven, another 10 rounds of seven, you know, you're going to see a lot of disparities in health outcomes. You really are. On my way here for this show, I was listening to another radio show and they were talking about this very issue of health disparity, health outcomes. And they were looking at it and they said that actuarially, you know, so when you do statistics, for a black male born in 1999, the life expectancy is 58.
Wow.
And whereas the average male expectancy for an American of whatever ethnicity or heritage is 75. That's almost 20 years.
Do you have any, what's your take on all of that? This is really unbelievable to me. 20 years is enormous.
Yeah. I have to say, as a black woman, it's alarming, it's shocking, it's scary. It's enraging. It's all of that. But, you know, I look at it from a point of view of stress and how stress can really undermine people's health.
Sure.
And some stressors are not visible.
Sure.
Like, you know, if a bear was chasing you and you thought the bear was really coming for you, okay, that's a stress we would all respond to. And that's rare, but that's a universal response. You know, there's a big, huge, hairy animal coming after me. I'm out of here.
Right.
But then there's day-to-day stresses that can go on sometimes in interactions we have with people. And if someone has the constant or continual or all too frequent experience of, let's say, being in a store and constantly being shadowed, somebody thinks they're going to be a thief. Or they have a situation where they're in a place and they're continually either disrespected or rendered invisible. Or they're just not feeling valued, not a part of things, being marginalized. Those are times where, again, I feel as a naturopathic doctor, that's when your adrenal glands are going to put out extra of their hormone called cortisol. And when cortisol hits the bloodstream, your body perceives a stress. And when you perceive a stress, then what the body's expecting is that there is a physical threat and you're going to respond.
Sure.
You're going to lift the car off the baby. You're going to run really fast. Whatever. You're primed.
Whatever
you're
ready to go.
Which means all the blood.
Yeah,
at the sake of your own, you know, balance. And so the blood leaves your gut. Any healing that was going on, any background work is out of there. It's gone to your muscles to keep you safe.
Right.
Well, if you have these cortisol responses because of those kinds of stresses, this cortisol doesn't get burned off.
Right. So you're not running away from the bear. You're sitting in your car or you're sitting in the store.
Yeah, exactly. And this then becomes a real setup for the kinds of problems that cause people to die sooner and not live as long as they otherwise could.
And add to that maybe socioeconomic things like living in Hunter's Bay Point and not having access to fresh fruits and vegetables where you might get those nutrients that would help your poor adrenals that are feeling overstressed right now. You don't even have that to help you. Boy, yeah, there's a lot. And how I don't even know how we get information to people or how people learn about this.
I think there's two sides to this. One are, you know, historically in the African-American community, there's been some ways to heal from the social things that happen that are quite awful. And some of those practices, I think, are just wonderful. Some of it has been to come together as a community and to talk and to be with each other and, you know, not pretend like all is well.
Right.
And that's always a good thing. And times for rest and relaxation. My observation has been, though, in America, as a broader culture's relentless march, in my opinion, to have everything run 24 hours a day, 7 days of the week, just about 365 days of the year, means there's no clear, agreed-upon, community-wide time to rest.
Right.
Whether it is religiously based or whether it is commercially business-based, however the base might be, I just see it being eroded in many different ways. And so you don't really know of a place in a day and a time when a community has come upon this agreement that we will cease our normal day-to-day activities and just be with each other.
Sure.
And so, you know, hats off to religious traditions that continue to hold to that and uphold that tradition. I think it's essential. Most people can go throughout a month and not be able to tell you, and I know this in my work as a doctor, they can't tell me a clear day or time of day when they've rested last.
Yes.
They can't remember that. How basic.
Yeah.
How basic. So if your blood pressure, you've got problems, you know, you're not exercising, taking care of yourself. What was interesting, though, in the health disparity report I heard on my way driving over was, this was the kicker, even if people had the same eating habits and they had the same access to exercise and use of exercise, both aerobic, weight training, you know, the usual stuff, this disparity was still there.
Really?
A gap of almost 20 years. I know, that's a kicker.
Wow.
And it didn't used to be such a big gap. And so for many African Americans, you know, we don't live in the agrarian South anymore. That has its pluses and its minuses. The minus is that, you know, we're not necessarily growing our own food.
Mm-hmm.
I think that was a huge plus.
Sure.
Now, obviously, there were some other issues that were not pluses
right.
at all. But I just wonder how core is this nutritional piece?
Sure.
Many of the foods that we eat traditionally, you know, the really dark, leafy, green vegetables, you know, the kales.
Yeah.
And other greens like that are so nutrient dense. But boy, the way we cook them just kills it right off.
Sure. Well, what about people that are living over in that area? Do you have any thoughts? If you don't have an access to a car, anything I suppose might be difficult. But I know that there is the Alemany Farmers Market on Saturdays, which I hear, I have not been because I usually end up going down to the ferry building because I get my meat and everything there. But it's much more expensive. And my friend goes over to Alemany and she says it's really incredibly cost effective. I think she said we were getting peaches for like $3 or $4 a pound. I mean, they were organic. They were wonderful and beautiful. But she was getting organic peaches over there for like $1, $1.50 a pound. So really a nice way to get some good access of some fresh fruits and vegetables straight from the farmer. You're supporting the farmer. You're supporting yourself. And it doesn't have to cost a fortune.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a real perception that organic food, fresh food, quality food has got to cost an arm and a leg. And look, you know, let's be real with each other. The Bay Area in general is expensive to live in. It's probably the most expensive area in the country, or at least in the top three. This,
right.
I'm sure of. And for many people's budgets, you know, their hearts and their minds may absolutely be oriented towards organic and, you know, non-genetically modified food. They want real food, not frankenfood, right? But if it's a budget buster, you know, you got to make some choices sometimes about how many dollars do you really have.
Yes.
You know, you don't want the money to run out before the end of the month.
Right.
So, you know, for people's budgets, that's a great resource to know about. I think both to salute and support the young people who are making an entrepreneurial effort to make door-to-door.
I think that's
fresh
amazing.
Fruit and produce. You know, it's like Girl Scout cookies, only way better.
Right.
This is great. I'd say let that go forward and multiply, and maybe there's a way for the Alemany folks to come into the neighborhood and have a local market.
That would be great.
That might work really, really well.
Yeah.
Because it's a core issue. And, you know, it's like if you don't deal with the causes of problems, then you're forced to deal with the symptoms. And to me, the symptoms are sometimes poor performance in school, difficulty paying attention, difficulty perhaps later on with job performance, or maybe perceiving everything that happens in life as a huge, serious stress because absolutely no recovery has occurred. And if you don't have a nutrient-bound foundation along with a spiritual foundation, you're in trouble.
Yes.
That's true for all of us.
That's right. Wow. Well, You know, hopefully maybe somebody's listening out there that might have, I know that there's a lot of people with financial resources that might be willing or interested in supporting this group of young people that's over there doing this, or maybe somebody willing to put a farmer's market in. I know that they were in my neighborhood thinking of putting a farmer's market in. I don't really need a farmer's market in my neighborhood. I live a block or two from a great little grocery store. And actually the grocery guy was a little upset to think that the farmer's market might come in. So don't put it in my neighborhood. Go put it over in Hunter's Bay Point, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
So yeah, well, let's, keep, I guess, getting the word out there of the importance of nutrition, and maybe people will take their own time to make an effort to get some of these fresh foods, and maybe some people in the community will get together and make something happen. Because I have a friend over there, and she said that, you know, this has been going on for a long time, and
yeah,
how long
is.
Does it need to go on before we do something? Like you said, we live in California. There's nowhere in the world probably that has more fresh produce than we have, and yet we can't feed a community of people.
It's incredible. You know, again, and just this week, two or three days ago in the paper, there was an article saying that California farmers produce 3 times per acre more produce than anywhere else in the country.
Mm.
So clearly,
yes,
the knowledge is here. You know, we just got to figure out the access thing.
Yes.
I mean, a similar thing gets mirrored in the job market. Sometimes there's lots of people clustered in a community, sometimes on the inside perimeters of, you know, cities, of metropolitan areas, who want jobs. They don't have jobs. And often anymore, the jobs, particularly the jobs that pay well, tend to be on the perimeter of the city or further away. Sometimes it would be, if you're going to go by bus, an hour, hour and a half ride each way, which if you've got kids, might not work so good because you're not going to ever be around.
Right.
You know, the whole commute thing. And I know the Bay Area is super sensitive to the commute piece.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a thought. It's really a thought around connecting up people. And again, it's about access.
Yes.
You know, I've seen communities like in Philadelphia, my original hometown, they finally got together a bus service for pooled vans. And the vans would meet people at certain points in downtown and take them out to the suburban parks where all the jobs were.
Right.
As a straight express route. So instead of having a 2-hour each way commute, and I used to do it one summer, so I know exactly what that was about. That was super stressful. That was 4 hours out of the day just to get back and forth.
Mm.
Instead, it became a 45-minute each way, which was much more doable.
Mm.
Now, I didn't have children at the time, but I do know of people who did. And I would ask them, like, how do you make that work? There's realities around childcare.
Right.
You know, it's an interesting conflict because for parents, if they're going out and they are employed and they have jobs and they're taking care of their family financially, they often wind up not having enough time to do it emotionally. And so they get in trouble.
Right.
Now, if they have a higher income level, same behavior, there's no flack.
Mm.
You know, the disparity just shows up in lots and lots
yes,
and lots of ways.
Yes, yes.
We get everybody on the same page someday. That would just be awesome.
Wouldn't it? Well, maybe we will just, each of us will do it ourselves.
Yeah.
and we'll make it happen, and I guess not wait for others to do it for us, because that's certainly not working.
Yeah,
is it?
No. this has already been proven.
Yes, right. And I said Hunter's Bay Point, but it's Hunter's Point Bayview. There's a Bay Point, which is different. All right. So let's just continue this on and talk a little bit about just the stress, you know, and what stress does to the body. And I think this will lead us nicely into our conversation about the food sensitivities and all that piece. But just for anybody that's listening in, that's new, we are talking with Dr. Beverly Yates, a naturopathic doctor. And you are listening to KPOO San Francisco, 89.5 FM, and you're listening to Reality Sandwich. I'm Julie Matthews. So, firstly, Beverly, how can people get a hold of you?
They can either call the clinic at 415-381-4600.
Great.
And or email.
Website.
Yeah, they can go to the website, which is www.naturalhealthcare.com. And they can email us that way.
Great. And Beverly has written a book, Heart Health for Black Women, A Natural Approach to Healing and Preventing Heart Disease. We had her on last time talking about that, and you can listen to that interview with her up on our website for free at, what is it, the best place, realitysandwichradio.com. So as far as the stress piece goes, we talked about it a little bit and the stress hormones and what happens and all of that. But let's talk a little bit about kind of the biochemistry and the physiology of what actually happens when, you know, of course, nobody likes stress and it feels terrible. But what are some of the health implications of that?
Well, stress is pretty amazing. It's a real silent troublemaker. It's just like high blood pressure that way. People can have what they don't realize is off the charts stress, and it destroys various parts of the body in a very systematic, consistent way. One of the ways it compromises us is that it starts to erode our foundational base for feeling well. So people's energy regulation gets really compromised. In the short term, they're able to rally. So the adrenal glands typically will just step up to the challenge and just put out ever more of cortisol and other chemicals that it puts out in order to respond to what's perceived as a stress. And I'm going to emphasize that, perceived as a stress. For most of us, we don't, on a day-to-day basis, have bears actually chasing us. You know, people who have road rage behavior absolutely are exhibiting stage one of the adrenal response. They're in alarm.
Okay.
And they are stuck there. It's like their foot stuck on their own physiological accelerator. And they can't seem
physical.
To find the brakes. Yeah, or physical in this case. That's true, actually. I've seen some stunts here. Oh, boy, like out of a movies, but it wasn't the movie. And, you know, okay, so that's stage one. Stage two, the adrenal glands start to get a little tired, and they can't quite give out the same response. But by now, the person is so embroiled and been, if you will, what I want to say, deflated or compromised by their response in stage one, that now in stage two, the adrenal response is moderate. It's no longer a high pitch. And the person is trying their best to get back to that place, and they can't do it. They don't have the physiological oomph left. It's gone. Finally, in stage three, the adrenals say, you know what? Forget this. We're done.
Wow.
And so it's pretty much a flat line. And so we do lab work with people, and we can identify exactly where they're at in that cycle. And if they are on a more of a flatline response, i.e. they are so exhausted, so tired, you know, they can hardly complete a sentence. You know, these are the people who tend to do face plants in the middle of the afternoon. Their job performance is poor. Their school performance is poor. Their relationship performance is poor.
They're running on caffeine all day.
Yeah. These are the people who never stop with the caffeine. It's not just for, you know, a little taste here and there.
Yeah.
I mean, they're living for it.
Right.
And it's still not helping.
Oh, boy.
Too much. They've just hit the wall.
And this is the wonderful thing about functional medicine or naturopathic medicine, right? Maybe you can explain. I don't know what they do in regular Western medicine. If you go to the doctor, they have any adrenal test? I know they have a thyroid test, but is there any adrenal?
No, conventional medicine doesn't usually even look at adrenal function. In natural medicine, we do look at adrenal function along with a thyroid. Because I've seen clinically, once the adrenals are shot, next in line is the thyroid.
Yes.
Now, the thyroid is going to be the conductor of your energy throughout the day. And just like any conductor, it wants the symphony to run well. But somebody has to be in charge of the orchestra. And it's actually not a conductor. If you've ever been in an orchestra, you know that.
Right.
So in that case, then, the thyroid gland doesn't have a backup system for energy. So when the adrenals, which is there for emergency energy isn't working, and the thyroid gland has been, you know, whipped into a frenzy and it's starting to give up, now they're really in a pickle. It's a tough place to be.
Wow.
So the adrenal stuff, what happens is it starts the beginning of a path that for many people results in food sensitivities.
Ah.
And it may not necessarily be a true frank food allergy. So let me draw a distinction on that one.
Great.
There's IgE, the emergency kinds of response from the immune system. And what we would all recognize that as is allergies to like shellfish and peanuts, strawberries, things that can be immediately life-threatening. Sends people to the emergency room, probably involves anaphylactic shock, or might be on its way. It's on that kind of scary path. Okay, great. There's other functional parts of the immune system, though, in terms of how it interacts with food. Now, what a lot of people don't know is about 60% of their immune system is in their gut.
Yes.
If you think about it, that makes sense, right? Why? We eat stuff that's foreign to us, clearly. We're not eating ourselves.
Right.
So your body has to be able to determine the difference between self and not self. So if you are highly stressed, the lining of your gut gets compromised. It gets so compromised, in fact, if you imagine, you know, put your hand up in front of your face and wiggle your fingers and keep them apart. Now, as you're wiggling it, the small intestine, those microvilli, that wonderful absorptive area in your gut, your small intestine, looks like that. Oh, that's how it should. Now, you put your other hand up. Okay, wiggle both fingers on both hands. Now put them together and interlock them. That should be what your gut lining looks like. Tight. You can't see a thing through
that, right?
Okay, now pull your hands apart about halfway. And you see all this light and space between those finger-like projections. This is called a leaky gut. Once you've got a leaky gut situation going on, the large molecules to go by, the large proteins that haven't been fully digested, fat, et cetera, is seen too soon by the immune system on the other side. The immune system says, what are you? Are you a virus? Are you a bacteria? Are you a mold? What is that? So the immune system gets way over-involved too soon. Creates all these wars in various parts of the body. And depending on what your weak links are, that's what's going to show up. So for some people, it's going to be rheumatoid arthritis. Some people, it's going to be migraine headaches. Other people, it's going to be sinusitis. Some people might find they have joint pains. Some people may have muscular aches that might otherwise be labeled as, say, fibromyalgia, but yet nobody can ever figure out what's the cause. You know, like,
right.
What's wrong with you? So then they get told, ah, it's all in your head, or, oh, well, you just have RA, you know.
Yeah,
you
we don't
Arthur.
Know. Yeah, or, yeah.
You know, good luck. And so in the world of natural medicine, we do the lab work to figure out, is this the problem? How extensive is it? And then, based on a course of treatment, usually, say 6 months to a year and a half or so, help you do what you need to do to knit back your gut.
Mm.
And so people are surprised, you know, if part of their prescription, let's say, includes yoga or Tai Chi to help with the stress.
Mm-hmm.
Because with the stress response, it completely compromises what's called secretory IgA in the gut. Mm. And that is a large part of what keeps those finger-like projections that we just explained put knit together. And once you don't have enough of the secretory IgA, this becomes broken. You know, the lining of your gut just becomes porous.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the setup for a whole bunch of problems. And if you solve what is clearly the cause here, get the gut functioning normally, from the mouth all the way to the other end of that pipe at the anus, most health problems stop.
Mm. Well, they say a lot of, even thousands of years ago, they said all disease begins in the gut. And the more and more I learn, the more I realize it's absolutely true.
Yeah.
They say the gut is the second brain, so that your brain doesn't function, and which makes sense.
Yeah.
They've done tons of studies. And if you think about it, Jenny McCarthy was on doing some autism things the other day. And
I
she had a really great analogy, I thought, which was, if you don't think that there's a gut-brain connection, think about what happens when you go to a bar. If you drink a glass of alcohol, what is that? What's the first thing it does? Has an effect on your brain.
Immediate.
So how can we say that food or what we put in our gut might not have an effect? It does have an effect,
it
and it can have a pretty significant one, creating all sorts of inflammation. And so it sounds like the main thing, well, one of the main things to look for food sensitivities is pain or inflammation in various parts of the body, or digestive, of course, digestive problems. Anything else that people, if they have any certain conditions, might want to think food sensitivities?
Yeah, a lot of people don't understand that their skin is a reflection of their inner skin. So the inner skin is, you know, from the mouth all the way to the end of the pipe at the anus, and that's lined with epithelial cells. Mm-hmm. Your skin is also lined with epithelial cells, and that's your outer side of the exact same kind of tissue, except for it has a layer of cornification, essentially a waxy layer. That's the only difference between your skin and your gut. So you've got all this absorption happening, whether it's inside or outside of you, and you have to take care of it. Mm-hmm. Now, most people are into their vanity, into their looks,
right.
And they put all kinds of, you know, creams and do such amazing things to look and glow beautiful on the outside. But I'll tell you right now, if you really want to be vain, you need to work on the inside.
Yes.
And then let the inside be a reflection of the outside, and the outside be a reflection of the inside.
Mm-hmm.
They're part and parcel.
Yes.
Otherwise, you just wind up, you know, pretending and playing and layering
right.
and covering, but you're not really dealing with it.
Right, right. So let's go back for those people that think, oh, what, I definitely have too much stress. And certainly, I'm sure many of them will do their best to try to reduce it, but we all have things going on in our life. What symptoms might people want to look at for adrenal fatigue or thyroid, so that they can start to think, oh, you know what? Because a lot of times on those thyroid tests, they only test TSH and T4, which doesn't tell us anything about
right.
free T3 and T4 and autoantibodies. And so many people have this sort of subclinical thyroid problem that the doctor doesn't recognize, but they know something's wrong.
Right.
So maybe if they start with symptoms, they'll say, you know what? I'm not just going to look at that test. I'm going to look at how I feel. So maybe you could share some of that with people.
Sure, sure. Clinically, I always work with people to tease this apart, and it's a great area of confusion because both the thyroid and the adrenals are about energy management, mm-hmm. really, but in a different way.
Mm-hmm.
So let's look at it. If a person is tired, if they have difficulty waking up and feeling alert throughout the day, if they are having hair loss that's unexplained, if they find that the hair they used to have on the front of their shins is gone, if they've lost the last third of their eyebrows, if they find that their mood is just kind of flat and they're not interested in much, that all points much more to a thyroid problem.
Hmm.
Adrenal problems clinically tend to show up more with the people who either are so adrenal exhausted they don't have any kind of a sleep rhythm at all. They have no cycle.
Hmm.
They can't figure out when to go to bed. They don't know when to get up. And they're just a mess.
Hmm.
Basic life functioning for them is in the tank.
Hmm.
They are so tired.
Ugh.
So the thyroid people wake up and have a hard time just getting up.
Hmm.
the adrenal people don't feel refreshed by sleep.
Okay.
And they can't ever seem to get enough of it. Thyroid folks tend to feel like they've gotten enough sleep, but they're just like, why did I bother to wake up?
Okay.
There are some subtle distinctions between the two in the absence of lab tests that can really help sort out which is the bigger problem or which one happened first.
Sure. But I suppose if anybody's feeling any of those things, you can start to suspect at least one of those. And, and a lot of times, like you said, they go together. So if you just start seeing, okay, I'm having some of these things going on, you go into a naturopath like Dr. Yates and you can get all of this testing done and really find out. And it's usually pretty easy testing, like a saliva test or something, right?
And it's user friendly.
Yeah. And it shares so much what I like call functional information. What's functioning? What's not functioning? let's look at that. Because by the time we get a quote test that says, oh, we're having elevated enzymes or we're having some, then it's, like you said, you're already in stage three or the burnout part, and now what do, you know?
Yeah, it's a much bigger project, you know, to put it back together. The good news, though, is, you know, from my point of view, clinically, adrenal glands are usually pretty easy to get back online. It responds fast. And how I explain it to my patients is I say, look, you know, it's a fight or flight system. This is priority one for the body. It's about survival. Of course it's going to heal quick. The same way if you've got a cut in your mouth, you've got something going on with your eyes, you know, those are priorities. Your ankles are not a priority.
Right.
Your heels are not a priority. And those parts of the body often take a lot longer, especially as we get older and we don't have the benefit of that magical item called growth hormone.
Right.
And all of its friends, you know, it makes a big difference.
Sure.
So I think for many people, you know, there's almost a needless struggle. Now, the thyroid, frankly, the chameleon, as I call it, can definitely take longer to put back together, but it can be sorted out and put back together. And people who suspect thyroid problems and it's not showing up with the standard conventional medicine labs, the allopathic labs for TSH, T3, T4, you know, would do well to do a more comprehensive thyroid assay. There's some wonderful choices now for that. And so we can look at the metabolites, again, from the point of view of naturopathic medicine. We're looking at the causes. So we're looking at physiology. We're not so much ones who manage disease as opposed to promote health and well-being by treating the core problem. And clearly, if the thyroid gland, because it's the master for the metabolism, for all of the bass music, if you will, of each and every organ in the body has got to come, that drumbeat, if you will, from the thyroid. If you've ever played in a band or an orchestra, and no one's keeping the beat, so to speak, it's really hard to have any kind of music that sounds like a music. So think of it as playing that kind of note, that steady rhythm. And when the thyroid's not working right, it's a problem. It's a very real problem. Now, for some people, their thyroid stuff will start to show up, especially for women in their menopausal years, as arrhythmias. And see, with me being a specialist in heart disease, I have people coming all the time with arrhythmias, fibrillations, this, that, and the other thing. And often I need to work with them on their adrenal and thyroid. And guess what goes away? The scary seeming cardiovascular symptoms, because it never was really cardiovascular. Then other women get worked up for thyroid and other stuff, panic attacks. They get anti-anxiety meds. They get antidepressive meds. Well, it turns out it really was cardiovascular and nobody looked. This goes both ways, particularly for women. They're far more likely, in my opinion, to be mistakenly worked up. Let's put it like that. Thus, the overprescription of anti-anxiety and antidepressive meds for females who are actually having cardiovascular problems.
Which is a little annoying to begin with, just to think of.
Understatement. That's an understatement. Yeah.
A little condescending and...
this is not helpful.
Wow, well... So the good news is that when women or anybody is feeling that way, there's something that you can do.
Yeah.
There's things you can do to boost up the system.
Yeah.
And of course, just eating well, of course, is an essential part. So let's talk. I wanted to finish up that piece on the adrenals and the thyroid because I think it's important. But let's also talk a little bit more about that food sensitivity piece. These, I think, are such common things that many of us have to deal or we see in our practices as well as just in everyday life, that it's just so helpful because people go years and years and years and have no idea that the constipation they had every day, you know, was related to the dairy they were eating or the thyroid problem. And they just, and then they're just treating the symptoms with some, you know, constipation remedy when, you know, so let's talk a little bit about those food sensitivities. We talked about how they can create pain or they can create digestive problems like the constipation, gas, things like that. But the bigger ones are things like you said, like rheumatoid arthritis or some of these things that in the kind of Western world, we don't really have any answers for really on how to address them. So what are some things that people, what are the common foods that people should look for that are problems?
Okay. Some of this is age-based. In younger children, they typically will show up with behavioral problems. There's many kids who wind up, unfortunately, in juvie hall or in special ed who shouldn't be there, and they're just constantly in a toxic reaction to common foods. The top offenders are probably going to be wheat, soy, corn, dairy. If you look at the foods in our food supply that are the most manipulated, i.e., you know, dairy with the amazing amount of antibiotics and hormones and who knows what all else is in that stuff, you know, it's really just a disservice to even call it milk. You know?
Yes, yes.
If you look at wheat, corn, and soy, those are three of the top four most genetically engineered crops in our country at this time. The other one of the foursome is cotton. But we don't typically eat cotton, so we'll stick to wheat, corn, and soy, at least not yet. So for wheat, corn, and soy, I often wonder when people have sensitivities to those foods, if they're really sensitive to the food or to its manipulation. Here's why I'm going to draw that distinction. When I started practicing in the early mid-90s, I did not see this many people with food problems. Now, it's just off the charts. It's ridiculous. And I'm seeing people much younger with more serious problems, and it's getting to be more routine. You know, like now you see adults who show up with type 1 diabetes.
Wow.
Yeah. And the age for type 2 diabetes onset has dropped by over 10, 15 years. And maybe it's the prevalence of high fructose corn syrup.
Yes.
That all by itself could do it. It's too much fructose.
Absolutely.
People, each person has their own individual balance of that particular sugar that's going to be okay for them. And other people, it's going to do nothing but cause trouble.
And, of course, that's made from corn. Which
is genetically engineered.
Right.
So the question I always ask my patients is, you know, do you think that this was a problem for you or your family before? And so we tease it apart. I go back in time with them to find out, have they had a lot of big shocks or one huge one? It was just, you know, so amazing and they didn't get a chance to recover, in which case I know their gut is probably compromised and we can do some labs to rule it in, rule it out, and move on from there.
Sure.
Additionally, with food sensitivities and food allergies, you know, one of the good news is about it is that a lot of people have the perception if they have a food sensitivity that they forever have to avoid the food.
Right.
That's not true.
Right.
Provided we do the work to knit the gut back together and get it to heal. Then it can go on and eat foods and go to parties and not be a social pariah.
Right.
Because for some people, I tell you, food is such a communal, almost a spiritual experience. It's a big deal for them.
Yes.
They get upset.
Yes. And the food we often are most have difficulty breaking down, we're most addicted to. So you're going to ask me to give up my two favorite foods? Forget it. And if I'm going to have to do it forever, let's not take this advice.
Yeah. When the lab results come back, people look at me and they go, okay, don't tell me I'm allergic to, and they always have a favorite one too.
Right?
It's like plea bargaining.
Yeah,
and I'm
yeah.
like, people, it's just food. Now that's my perspective. Easy for me to say,
right,
you know, I've come to realize that this has a huge emotional component. For some people, food is such a basic thing around being nurtured and loved and thought about.
Sure.
Or a way, if they weren't thought well about or nurtured, that they comforted themselves. It's a core thing.
Yes.
You know, you watch an infant, a newborn breastfeed. You watch toddlers and their efforts to feed themselves more or less neatly. You know, they get better as age goes by. You know, and you just begin to really get a grasp of the totality of food in our lives. You know, over 60% of our life energy in any given day goes to digestion, goes to the gut.
Wow.
And over 60% of the immune system is there. So shouldn't we put 60% of our health energy there?
Right.
And our avoidance of disease? Shouldn't we perhaps have a 60% focus? I mean, it just kind of would make sense, wouldn't you think?
It would make a lot of sense.
Instead of being the last thing people look at, it ought to be the first.
So in addition to figuring out, determining if you have any of these food sensitivities, and then, of course, avoiding them for a period of time and healing up the system. And what are just some healthy foods? So, you know, if there are people in these areas where they haven't thought about good produce because maybe they hadn't had access to it before and never made it a priority, what are some of these, you know, fairly simple things that people can do out there to start seeing a difference? And how does this food make a difference?
It makes a difference in a lot of ways. Some people just have a lack of information and some habits in place that aren't useful. So if they could just turn it around, it'll work for them. Maybe 4% of the population can make a huge change all at once. 96% can't.
Right.
That's true worldwide.
Sure.
So we're going to talk to the 96%, not the 4%. I always tell folks, pick one meal a day and make it a great meal. Start with that.
That's a great idea.
And it's doable.
Yeah.
People relax. They're like, oh, I could do that.
Right.
And I usually insist, particularly with adults, they start with breakfast. If you don't start your day well, it's going to be hard to play catch up.
Oh, it is. Oh, yes.
It really is. So for most people, a good breakfast is going to consist of some kind of a concentrated protein and a quality fat. Mm-hmm. And I know today some people are terrified of fats.
I know. Hey, you're a heart disease specialist. You're promoting fat over here. What's going on?
I'm a renegade. I'm all about the quality of the fat.
Yes, yes.
So I told the patient yesterday, she had misheard something I said. So she was trying to convince me I had told her to eat a stick of butter, right? I was like, no, I did not say that. I was telling her that actually butter contains butyric acid, also called butyrate. And that helps the lining of the colon. She has a problem with her large intestine. Mm. So I was saying for her, butter could be medicinal.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, a tablespoon or two throughout her day would be actually a good idea,
mm-hmm.
but not a stick.
Right.
You know? So we got that clear.
All
so
right.
I hope everybody heard that.
Yeah, okay.
olive oil, you know, any of the oils that are really rich in essential fatty acids, mm-hmm. the nut oils provided, it's quality. So this means it needs
yes.
to be in a dark bottle.
Mm.
It may or may not need to be refrigerated. That's a topic for another show. But you want to have it so it's cold pressed, it's organic, it's clean stuff. So what you're eating is quality.
Mm-hmm.
And what I found is when people eat quality foods, particularly the people who have food addictions that I've worked with, they stop.
Yes.
The behaviors because they're getting enough.
Yeah, because they were starving before and they
totally.
Didn't know it. So they were obsessed.
Totally.
Yes.
Totally. They get control back. It's not an issue of willpower. It's an issue of control.
Yeah.
And if your brain is constantly intoxicated from the stuff that's coming across a leaky gut, of course you're not going to behave well.
Mm.
So if you're a child, you might be really impulsive. You might have outbursts of anger.
Mm.
You might not be able to concentrate and pay attention. You might be labeled with attention deficit disorder and not yet really truly fit that picture.
Yes.
Maybe you're going to be really hyperactive. Maybe you're going to be the kind of child who's always a bit behind or has failure to thrive as a label and it just goes forward in time.
Mm.
Get the food straightened out. It makes a huge, huge difference.
Yeah, and for those people that, again, might be used to eating all of this processed food, just getting rid of all of the artificial ingredients makes an enormous difference.
Yep.
And the other great thing is that making your own food is so much less expensive than buying all this processed food. So
yep.
really, in the end, as long as you can get access to it, you have really a wonderful opportunity for a win-win on all areas. It's less expensive. It's better for your health. It's, you know, you're avoiding all the junky stuff. And
yeah.
so I guess one of my kind of favorite points next to your wonderful thing of eating one good meal is try to get a meal where you get some good vegetables in. Just really focus on not so much of having to, so take out the artificial ingredients, but then what can you add? You know, so instead of saying, oh, I need to take out all the fat and all the salt and all the things that you love, which, of course, I don't think are bad to begin with necessarily.
No, no.
Just, yeah. And just add some good vegetables, you know, wherever you can start. All of that, you get all those minerals, all of those nutrients that you need to have the thyroid and the adrenals and the gut. I mean, how do they function? They function based on getting the proper nutrients. So we not only need to support them from a physiological perspective and a stress perspective, but we need to get those good whole foods in them. So, yeah.
Yeah. The adrenal glands, even more so than the thyroid, really, really, really need a broad base of minerals.
Mm.
So does your cardiovascular system. And if you're a diabetic, minerals are just as important. You
wow.
need the right amounts. You really, really do. And if you don't have enough, there's no way really for your body to make it on the fly or cheat. It's just going to be in a deficit state.
Do you have any favorite foods that have some of these good minerals to support the system that people can think about?
Well, I'll tell you, these days, if it's organic food, pretty much all of them. It's interesting. If you go to the USDA website, I don't know if they still have it up. They did for a while. They had shown that the average mineralization of the soils on organic farms today is at about 80% of the level it was in soil of any kind 70 years ago.
Wow.
We are still behind, Julie. So I am loath to say one or two. I know you're looking
wow.
at me with alarm.
Yeah.
I'm loath to say which particular ones, because it's kind of a crapshoot, to be honest.
Yes.
So I tell people, eat a wide variety, eat fresh, eat local, eat in season,
mm.
but absolutely get the variety
mm.
and honor the fact that, you know, here we are coming into the fall season as we're doing this recording, right? Well, what are the foods that are now going to be fresh?
Mm.
The orange ones,
some
they are
favorites.
Rich in what? The carotenoids.
Beta carotene.
Well, what does that help? Night vision. Doesn't that seem like no accident that would be a food that comes online?
Nature's smart.
So smart. If we would just follow the lead.
Yes. If we didn't think we were smarter, then
yeah,
right.
Yeah, we get in trouble doing that.
Yes, we do.
You know? Other things that people might feel with the food allergy piece, along with or separate from the thyroid and adrenal piece, might be that they feel depressed. They feel like their energy is not normal. Their ability to complete projects, to start and finish things, their interest in the joy of life, the fun, the spontaneity, that might be really compromised. So they don't necessarily need to be in pain or have some sort of an itis, whether it's arthritis or bronchitis or sinusitis. But if it's a chronic ongoing thing and it's steadily getting worse, or if they have a tendency towards allergies, they just need to be mindful. It's not that they need to be paranoid and obsessed. They need to be mindful. Mm-hmm. And with the right information, they'll know what works for them. So in the context for myself of a family practice, the thing I love about it being a family practice is I get to work with everybody. First off, I get much better, more complete information. I can be a far better service. Because people often represent themselves in one way. And it often misses some of the key pieces. It might be a sentence or two I needed to hear.
Yes.
That lets me know, okay, this is how they really live their life. Mm-hmm. This will actually work, which is how I came to the make one meal a great meal as a place to start. And then after a month or two where they've had success, they're feeling good and they're calm. Because I don't want the treatment plan to be a source of stress. That's not helpful.
Yes, right.
Where's the healing in that?
Right.
You know,
right.
There isn't.
Right.
Then we go to make two meals. And most people find as adults, now not children, this doesn't apply to children, for adults, they stop snacking, the mindless snacking, I call it.
Yes.
They don't feel like they have to hit the vending machine at 3 a.m. or 3 p.m. rather, or otherwise they're going to, you know, take a nap on their desk at work or whatever their situation might be. Maybe they're driving a cab or a bus, whatever.
Sure.
You know, they need to be alert. This is not the time for a nap.
Right, right.
And as a culture, frankly, it would be great if we did nap. But since we don't live in that kind of culture, you know, how do you make it work for where we actually are?
Mm-hmm.
Making sure they drink enough water throughout the day.
Yes.
So they're not playing, you know, catch up at 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock at night, and then wonder why they're up all night to urinate. Then they're trying to convince me they have diabetes when, no, they just drink a lot of water at the end of the day.
Right, right.
You know, it's amazing the variety of possibilities. But that basic self-love, self-care in the most positive sense, making time in each day, and even for mothers of young children, I'm one of them, I know how insane it can be, but it's possible. It might be 7 minutes. That's all you can carve out. Carve them out. Make that part of your habits. It's important for you, and it's important for your loved ones, especially those little people growing up who look up to you and adore you, to see that you take yourself and your health seriously. They're going to get our habits whether we like it or not. So let's pass on as many positive ones as we can come up with.
Yes, absolutely. Well, this has been great. How can people find you again?
They can either call the clinic at 415-381-4600, or they could go to the website, www.naturalhealthcare.com, or send me an email at clinic@naturalhealthcare.com.
Great, great. Well, you are listening to Reality Sandwich, and we are on KPOO San Francisco, and you can listen to us every Thursday at noon. And I just wanted to say, firstly, thank you so much for being here today. We had such a I always love having you on and hearing about all this great stuff that everybody can do for themselves, and ways to empower themselves to find new information and make some decisions and really take some control. So I want to thank you.
You're welcome.
And for those who want to hear the show again or send it to a loved one, you can have it available for you anytime for your listening pleasure at realitysandwichradio.com. I'm Julie Matthews. I'm a certified nutrition consultant with Healthful Living, and you can read more about me at healthfulliving.org. And for those of you who might be pregnant or know someone that is or are interested in getting pregnant, I am teaching a workshop next Saturday, October 6th and 7th, and it's going to be all about nutrition and all these wonderful topics that we were talking about today, about holistic, healthy, whole foods and ways to really support yourself. So that is going to be October 6th and 7th here in San Francisco, and you can find more about that on my website, healthfulliving.org. Thanks for listening, and stay tuned every Thursday at noon.